We're going to go through a lot of scripture today. It's my desire to go through a lot of scripture. I hope that I can talk fast enough and not get around chasing any rabbits this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. When I start reading the scriptures, you're going to say, what? I mean, Pastor, I on the side here, I got a stewardship sermon or two. Haven't you preached about stewardship from this? Yes, I sure have. But after looking at it this week, after the Lord put this on my heart, it makes so much sense that I would preach it as relating to the benefits of the gift and the gift of Jesus Christ. Because the three people that spoke just a few moments ago, I asked them, they didn't know I was going to pick on them. They could probably tell you in detail, because of their life, of how they have seen Jesus Christ continually give to them in their lives. And when we think of Jesus, we have to think of a gift that keeps on giving because he does. And so as I read the scripture, I want you to think of that in the concept of Jesus giving. So let me read this beginning in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Father, again, I am continually amazed of how awesome, how great that you are. That you can put things together weeks before things happen. And I marvel at the way that you work. And Lord, I would just simply pray that we would continually be open to the leadership of your Spirit in our lives. That even this morning, as we look at the benefits of the gift, benefits plural, and Lord, as we just explore five benefits of the gift, there are so many more. But I pray, Lord God, that in some way, as your Spirit can, that you will use one of these five in such a way in our lives that we would run with it in this Christmas season, and maybe one or two of them will mean a little bit more to us because we're calling attention to it than maybe perhaps we would have thought about prior to today. Father, thank you for the richness of your Spirit, and thank you for the peace that you give us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And may you have the freedom to minister and to teach in this place this morning. And may you draw us ever closer into relationship with you. And as was prayed earlier, if there's anyone outside of Jesus, today would be the day they would take the gift wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and that gift would forever change their lives because Jesus is interested in helping us and changing our lives for the better. So speak, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I got this word peace, and I want to give you five benefits of the gift. Now, there are a lot of benefits of the gift of Jesus Christ. Okay, so many benefits. Now, sometimes some of the benefits are there, and we tend to forget about them. And I think that two of these five, and not with any intentionality, there may be two of these, and don't know which two they might be, maybe three, that you may have not necessarily forgotten, but you don't think of like the way that you used to. Because what happens, just like when you're born physically, when you're born spiritually, the longer you're in that birth experience, the birth of physicalness or the birth of spiritualness, you tend to move forward and you tend not to go back. And that's just kind of human nature. So I've used the word peace, and the Lord gave me these five things on my knees to share with you this morning. P is, and if there's one gift that is absolutely essential, if you will, to this whole idea of the benefits of the gift, is this one: personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. As our United States was enamored this week of the homegoing of the president, the former president of the United States, and why it was, for many of you, you tend to forget, he's in that greatest generation, the generation of the World War I, World War II, where individuals just gave so selfishly and didn't expect anything in return. So different it is today, you know. People will sign up for a bonus, and you have people that will do things for bonuses. Well, this generation, and we do have one in our congregation as a part of that greatest generation, Henry Fuller, who is a World War II veteran who's not able to be with us anymore. He comes from that mold, if you will, of the former President Bush. But one of the individuals said of the former president, he said, and I quote, "I wish I would have met him. I wish I would have met him," and indicating that he appreciated him and just wanted to be in his presence. And I got thinking about that, and I got to think about the benefit that we have with this gift. We have met God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scriptures teach us that. That if you want to know about the Father, you look towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I understand in the context of what the individual is sharing this week about the President Bush, that he would have wanted to meet him in the physical sense, and understand that completely. But those of you that have accepted Jesus Christ, you have already met God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we just tend to forget that. And again, there's no intentionality about that, but we have this one-on-one relationship. And it just blows me away that God would want that one-on-one relationship. That God would love me so much in order to desire that one-on-one relationship to send Jesus Christ to the cross. So, I'm going to need some help. And if you're not comfortable reading scripture out loud, please don't raise your hand, but I'm going to need some help. I need somebody read Colossians 1, 19 and 20. Colossians 1, okay, Amy, you got Colossians 1, 19 and 20. I need someone to read 2 Thessalonians 3, 16. Okay, Rebecca. Now, I want you, you're in 2 Corinthians. I want you to turn left, and I want you to go to Romans, okay? I want you to go to Romans chapter 5, and I want to read this verse to remind you of something. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace is this: when you and I sin, sin separates us. And when sin in the world, it separated humanity from God. God had to send a lamb of God who take away the sins of the world. And the Lamb of God was Jesus. And when Jesus' death on the cross, and he shed that blood covers us so that God can see us, and we now have peace with God. The peace that God's talking about is not, there will never be peace in this world as you and I sometimes, or the world thinks of peace. Peace the world thinks of is that there's no fighting, and that would be a great thing. But as long as humanity is alive and ego is involved, there will always be war. Always. Let me say it again. Always. Mankind will forever be against one another. But you and I can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So keep your finger there in Romans and just listen to Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. You see, the reason why we emphasize the blood is because the Scripture emphasizes the blood. Because God emphasizes the blood. If without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So when God sees us, he does not see you in the sense, but he sees the blood of Jesus, if you will, covering you so you can have peace with God Almighty. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Thank you. You and I can have peace when we're right with him. There's a peace that's inside. And it's extraordinary because of your relationship and my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. One of the things that enamored me in looking initially at Jesus Christ was raised, the way I was raised and the way I was treated, that someone would love me. Someone would love me enough to die for me, fascinated me, still fascinates me today, that a loving God would love me so much to do something about it, to have a relationship with me. So, peace, personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Everlasting slash eternal life. I need two different people. I need someone to read 5:24, John 5:24, another person. Okay, Marie, 5:24. Another person to read 1 Peter 1:3-5. Okay, Terry, 1 Peter 1:3-5. Now you're in Romans. Now I want you to go left to the Gospel of John. Turn to John chapter 3, these famous, famous verses. But you hear about John 3:16, but I'm going to read John 15:16. And here the scriptures read, this is Jesus talking to Nicodemus. Jesus says in verse 15 that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in me shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because of the benefit of the gift of Jesus Christ, one of the many benefits, the second benefit is that you and I have everlasting, eternal life. That we have this life with the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, forever and ever and ever. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 24. you and I will not come under condemnation because Jesus Christ paid the price. What happens is, as believers, the further we get from the gift, the further we get away from receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, the more we're in our salvation experiences, we tend to forget what he's provided. Because life comes down around us to the point where we don't think about it. It just kind of goes out of our mind. Now listen to this. This passage of scripture is absolutely awesome. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Thank you. There is no greater passage of scripture to realize that your eternal life and my eternal life has absolutely nothing to do with you or me. That is kept by the very power of God. It's not going to be wasted away. It's not going to be taken away. That is always going to be there. Because he gives us the gift of eternal life. Personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Everlasting eternal life. A. A stands for abundant life right now. Abundant life right now. Now I need two more individuals that we have not stood up and shared yet. And this particular book is the book of Jude. Jude has no chapters, it just has verses, and Jude is located all the way to the back of your Bible. Matter of fact, just go all the way back to the book of Revelation, and you'll find the book of Jude. So I need someone to read verse 2. No, someone different. Verse 2, okay, I got it. Thank you, Miss Janice. Verse 2 of Jude, and then I need someone to go all the way back to the book of Psalm 46, which is, thank you, Darren, 46 verse 1, easy place to find Psalm. You open up the Bible, and sometimes Psalms will be just right there. And of course, it all depends on which Bible you have, but anyway. Abundant life. So the first, we're in John, right? So let's turn to John chapter 10, and I believe that this is Brother John's favorite verse. Am I correct? Yes, I thought I was. I thought you had told me that. In John 10:10:10, I mean John 10:10, not 10:10:10, but John 10:10. Okay, the scriptures read, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." Now, this is so important in the context of abundant life. And Jesus put this scripture together, reminding us that the adversary Satan, all he is interested in doing, once he loses your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, all he is interested in doing is making your life miserable with capital letters. Miserable. Miserable. And if he can keep the believers miserable, mindlessly on themselves, then no other soul will be affected, and he'll have his own army. Makes a lot of sense. So the scripture says, the adversary, the devil, the thief, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Full. Implying that every day with Jesus is indeed better than the day before, but it becomes better when you apply the biblical principles in your life and my life, and we trust him daily. It becomes more of a reality in our lives. See, when you do not trust him daily, he's no longer a reality in your life, and you're trusting other things. And unfortunately, a lot of individuals, and when I say individuals, I'm not talking about non-believers. I'm talking about believers are trusting other things than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when you and I do that, life is not abundant. Life is not full. It's not full. So, Jude verse 2. Listen to this one. This is pretty cool. And no, my grandson did not write this Bible. Write this book. Go ahead. Powerful verse. And sometimes he has these things that he wants to give to us abundantly. He wants to give them full in our lives. Psalm 46, verse 1. Ever present. That means right now. And you may say, well, was that for anybody? Yes. Yes. If you humble yourself to him, if you go to him and say, Lord, help me. Just those three words. And you don't know what else to say. Lord, help me. And you keep on saying it. Well, I'll go in a trance. Man, it'd be great for some believers to get in a trance with Jesus Christ. At least they're not in a trance for Satan. Do I hear an amen? At least they're in a trance for Jesus. See, he's a present help. He wants to make your life abundant right now. We have the abundant life. We have this everlasting eternal life. We have this personal relationship. Now, you're going to love C. You're going to be leaving here and say, man, I've never thought of it this way. You tell me that this is a benefit of the gift? You better believe it is. The word C stands for conviction. What? Say what? I need two more volunteers, two new ones. Okay, Lane, you got John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. And I need another person. Barbara, you have John 16, verse 12 through 13. Now we're in John 10. Turn a few pages over. No, I'm sorry. Turn a few pages back to John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. A great, awesome scripture. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, the reason why conviction is a gift is because conviction sets you free. It is so important in our relationship with God Almighty to realize that God is holy. And in this holiness, he helps us to realize through his Holy Spirit, through conviction, that we are not. See, there's something about our human psyche that we think that we're always better than someone else. And the reality is that we're not. We're all the same. We're all sinners saved by grace. We all need Jesus, whether we recognize it or not, and we need the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God so that we can go forward in this relationship with God Almighty. John 15, verse 26 and 27 says, now think about it. Here is Jesus. He's saying, hey, I'm going and I'm going to send you somebody. Hello. Hello. It's going to be pretty good. Somehow we think that when we come to service every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or we get in the Word of God in Bible study, and somehow we use this phrase, oh, you're all over my toes. Man, how in the world can I be all over your toes? I'm up here. And I understand what you're saying. And somehow we say that's a bad thing. That's a good thing. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit of God reminding you of whatever he needs to remind you of so you don't have a hard heart. You ever been around a person with a hard heart? Oh, my goodness. The Holy Spirit brings conviction to believers to remind them they need the counselor in their life. John 16, 12 through 13. Amen. Watch this. You get saved. You don't stay there. You continue to grow. So how do you continue to grow? The counselor brings you along. You can't handle everything initially. It's not the plan to handle it initially. So he brings you along and he brings you along and he brings you along and he brings you along. He grows you up in your salvation experience through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. So the next time you get convicted, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. Let's practice it. Thank you, Lord. Oh, say it again. Say it again. Now, for those you don't know what conviction is, is the Holy Spirit letting you know what you're doing, what you're saying is wrong? Well, how do we run from that? We don't come to church. Hello. We don't pick up the Bible. Hello. We don't pray. Hello. We disenfellowship with believers. Hello. Isn't it something that God so puts in our hearts about so-and-so, and the reason why so-and-so is not coming has nothing to do with you, but somehow you think it does. And it doesn't. But because you love so much, you thought it was you, and you say, if it's me, please forgive me. Oh, no, no, it's not you. Well, what is it? It's conviction of whom? The Holy Spirit of God, that what they're doing is not right. If there was ever a mighty revival across the land, it would hit the church first. The churches would be packed out. Gossip would cease. The coffers would be full. There'd be plenty Sunday school teachers. Plenty leaders on Wednesday night. If revival hit the continental United States of America, prayer meetings would be packed out. If ever the convicting power was permitted to hit the church of Jesus Christ. Conviction, abundant life, everlasting eternal life, personal relationship with God. And number E, at 12 o'clock, as your stomachs rumble, here's E. Rumble, 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 rumble. Here's E. Are you going to get to E? Yeah, I'm going to get to E. Just settle down. Stop rumbling so much. Equipped. Equipped to serve. Oh, do I have a lot to say about this? The scripture has a lot to say about it. I need quickly someone, Ephesians 6, 7. Thank you, Jim Lemke. I need Colossians 3, 23. Thank you, Sharon. Now, you're in John. Go all the way to Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. I was reading something this morning that was quite disturbing. There are brand new evidences of the game of Fortnite. Please, parents, listen to me. There are brand new evidences of the game of Fortnite doing something that they have never seen done to youth and children and single adults. They can't put a finger to it. Let me tell you what the finger is. Please hear me, and I'll say this as concisely as I can. It is the finger of evil. It is the finger of evil when it is not properly managed. Now, the finger of evil could be upon anything that is not properly managed. But in particular, Fortnite is doing something to these precious boys and girls they've never seen before. And these precious minds are drifting away and drifting away at an alarming rate. I am not anti-Fortnite. I am against anything that takes the very soul of a person's life away. And ladies and gentlemen, the adversary wants to take the soul of believers away. And let me show you how he's done it before Fortnite. He did it in the 90s, telling the young baby boomer parents that church was too much. That all you needed was Sunday morning. You don't need anything else. That on Sunday night, you need to have your family. And slowly, slowly, it started happening within Southern Baptists. More and more tripling effects of people that were not willing to serve. We are talking about equipped to serve. And what has happened now, what has happened in the Southern Baptist life, and is happening across denominational lines, is that believers do not feel they have to serve at all. And the believers, all they do is come and absorb. Now the ones that are serving, they are serving in this congregation so much overtime that I am personally burdened about the overflow in their lives to the point that they would, and it will happen, they will get burned out. My concern, where I saw it in the 90s, and I saw it in the 2000s, and I saw it in 2010, we did have individuals behind them that could take up the mantle of their burnt-outness. But guess what? In 2018, there is no ones behind them. And that is the burden that is on my heart. It wears and wears me out. If there's a thing that will drive me out of the ministry, it is the very thing that I'm talking about. It is the equipping of serving. And God's people have somehow become a people of absorbing and absorbing and absorbing. And they do not understand, because in the likes of Fortnite, Satan has robbed the soul of believers. Listen. Rob the soul of believers, that believers think it's okay. Their service is just showing up. Just showing up. And if it wasn't for some incredible servants in our church, who year in, year out, week in, week out, give tirelessly, this church would be a shell of itself. I don't want to hear any amens, because as soon as I hear an amen, I'm going to say, what are you doing? It's easy. Oh man, I'm just, it's easy to stand out there and to put a finger at somebody. It is easy to say what the church is and is not doing. It is easy to say that the church ought to do this and the church ought to do that. But what are you doing? What are you doing for the body of Christ? I am blessed to be a part of a body that has continually demonstrated this incredible point. But please hear me. Hear my burden. There's no one behind them. Look around. There's no one behind them. I want you to join me and pray that God would send. And maybe you're one of them. You're sitting there and you say, well, I can't do that or this. Why in the world can't you? I remember Johnny Blaha when I asked him 35,000 years ago to take over New London Health Center ministry for me. It was just too much. I never preached before. I said, Johnny, the Lord just put you in my heart. He'd been preaching down there for 35,000 years. And he needs some help. But somebody will come in and help temporarily. Johnny has seen this. I'm not, it's just the way it is. We'll help a little bit. And then it gets a little bit whatever. And they leave. And I know it's coming to the point for him that he's going to have to step away. And once he says that, I'm going to say, hey, man, great job, good and faithful servant. No telling how many individuals have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And only God knows, right, Johnny? Whether that one last week was real or not, right? And you know, I've been real quiet about that one. You know, been real quiet about that one. He shared with me another individual came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and would love to see if there's any follow-up and if he can follow up and things of that nature. But man, only God knows. And what I'm saying, this E, I hear the rumbling. Do you hear the rumbling? Hear the rumbling? No, you don't hear the rumbling. Equipped to serve. So here in Matthew 20, verse 28, 26 to 28 says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great, listen to this. Listen to what Jesus says. Whoever wants to be great among you, you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Ephesians 6:7. Who has that? Wow. Thank you. Colossians 3:24. Thank you. Body of Christ, you continue to do an exceptional job. And those of you that are in the church, that are serving the church body, you continue to do an exceptional job. Thank you so much. We have to start praying. And maybe we need it for it to be a part of the service. And that's where you come involved. I get my head sometimes just driven on a sermon and I need help to say we need to take care of this. Maybe every part of our service, we need to have a servant come up and pray specifically for, Lord, we need more servants of the Lord in this place. And maybe some of you will help me to do that on Sunday morning. I'm not going to have any kind of critiquing of the prayer. You're not going to have a prayer before the prayer. You know, if you are gelling with my spirit right now on this issue, and if there's only one of you, then so be it. There's only one of us. I can only share with you what the Lord's putting on my heart at the time that I'm preaching. We need to ask the Lord to bring more servants to take your place. To take your place. And for those of you that you're in no place, please consider serving the Lord. You see what happens when you get saved and you understand this eternal life and this abundant life and this conviction continues on you, then what do you want to do? You want to give down some of that what? You want to give some of it away. And see, as you give that some of that away, you grow. You see? You grow. I had a case of, I don't know what you call it, about a month and a half ago as we close. my heart got bigger than my body, and I signed up to coach my grandson's team. And I'm coaching eight and under boys, and we had our first game yesterday. And for those of you who know that how competitive I am, we got beat. I have a great assistant coach that keeps me balanced, my precious daughter. And but my goal is this for these boys. As I started with them in the first practice, I want by the end for them to have improved in something in basketball, whether it's dribbling or whether it's just not being afraid to catch the ball. And Darren's going, yeah, Darren had some of that last year. He says, yeah, I'm taking a break from that. But anyway, because the children's mind is just like Fawobi teaching soccer. He understands what I'm talking about. You want that when you start them, and to the end, you want to see for them somewhat improvement. And that's what it's all about. So I'm teasing. Don't be coming up to me 6 weeks from now and says, what's the record of your team? Don't you dare. Don't you dare be doing that. Well, how many points did you score yesterday? We just scored 2. Anyway. Was it your grandson? No. Did you set up a play for him? No, not yet. But anyway, well, as we're moving along. Okay, so watch what happens. In anything, and you can talk to Beth about this. Beth was talking about reading. And that in order for the children to improve in reading, they have to move motor skills. You know, in order for boys and girls to improve, they have to move. How do you improve spiritually? You have to move your motor skills. You have to put into practice whatever it is that you are learning. Sometimes I'm real blessed. I wish it was every Sunday, but it's not. Sometimes Johnny Blah will come up and say, Pastor, can I preach that sermon? And I said, yeah. I said, you can preach it better. He says, yeah, I intend to. But anyway, but it's great because we're all about the kingdom work. You see what I'm saying? We're all about the kingdom work. So if I can use something Johnny's using, if Johnny can use something I'm using, if I can use something that Sarah's using, for what? The kingdom work, we're moving with it. And we're getting ourselves, and what happens is this. When you get out in the area of service and you step out of your comfort zone, whatever that comfort zone is for you, you have to depend on someone. Oh, Lord, why in the world did I say yes? So right before the game, I said, Lord, why in the world did I say yes? But it's not about me. It's me developing relationships with my grandson and with these other precious boys. You know, I'm so bad. As I was working with the children, and I thought this one child had special needs, and I said, I don't know. And so I'm working with that child I thought had special needs, and my daughter came and says, Dad, what are you doing? Well, special needs, right? No, Dad, it's the other one. I didn't even notice it. Ah, I didn't notice it. Hope you read in between the line. For those of you who can't read in between the line, come see me afterwards and I'll tell you the rest to it, okay? Let's pray. Dear God, we are so blessed to have benefits of the gift, and I know, Lord, we just touched on 5. And I know, Lord, that in this group that they probably wrote some other things down that begin with these letters. That's great. Because, Lord, if we can just help people to see some of the benefits of the gift of Christmas in Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one moving, please. Shh. You get started with the benefit is accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've not done that, we would rejoice to help you. You can simply say to God something like this, God, I am a sinner. I need your son, Jesus, in my life. I repent and I believe in you, Jesus, with my mind and heart right now. In the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you just prayed a prayer like that or said something like that, congratulations. You started with the gift of Jesus. There's many more benefits coming your way. You just began. We would love to hear about that. So if you want to come and share that with me, the altar is open if you want to come and pray. It always is open if that's what you desire. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. You respond as the Lord leads you. Father God, have your way.